Okay, we're moving into our last, I'm sorry. Oh, Leah. Thank you, Angela. Okay, we're going to move into our last panel, and I think appropriately called Community Testimonies. And we have Dr. Barbara Nash, who's been in family practice, who's been working with the American Heart Association, I believe, and who is a very knowledgeable practitioner. We're happy to have you here, Dr. Nash. The floor is yours.
Good afternoon, good late afternoon, I think. And I won't keep you long. I know most of you are pretty tired by now. I want to thank Senator Price and members of the caucus and guests for inviting me to speak on such an important topic. Am I getting there now? I'm Dr. Barbara Smith Nash, and I've been a longtime volunteer for the American Heart Association, especially since I retired about a year ago. And I was practicing for UC Davis for the last 30 years in family medicine, and I was associate professor in family medicine, and I was one of the only ones here in Sacramento that also did OB and family medicine. But since my retirement, I've volunteered even more so with the American Heart Association. And with the American Heart Association, it is really, we're really aware of health disparities in especially the African American community here in Sacramento. My job has been to go out in faith-based community, the churches, and also in health clinics that different organizations have, to help educate them about heart disease and the power of stroke. We talk to them about cardiovascular disease, that it's the number one killer of Americans, and it's disproportionately toll on many racial and ethnic groups. I would like to highlight some of the more sobering statistics. And I know today you've heard a lot of statistics, and these may be duplicated in some. Cardiovascular disease accounts for about one-third of the disparity in potential life years lost between blacks and whites. And earlier you were shown that. Cardiovascular disease age adjustment death rates are nearly 34%. Higher for blacks than the overall U.S. population. Blacks are nearly twice as likely to have the first stroke and much more likely to die to have the first stroke at an earlier age, and much more likely to die from that one stroke than whites. Heart failure before age 40 is 20 times more common among blacks than among whites. American Indians, Alaska Natives die from heart disease much earlier than expected. 36% are under 65, compared with only 17% for the U.S. population overall. High blood pressure, as we know, is more prevalent in certain racial and ethnic minority groups, especially among blacks, for whom the prevalence is the highest in the world, and it's increasing. Non-Hispanic blacks and Mexican Americans have a higher prevalence of diabetes than non-Hispanic whites for adults over age 20. Racial and ethnic minority populations also confront more barriers to cardiovascular diagnosis and care. They receive lower quality treatments and experience worse health outcomes than their white counterparts. Such disparities are linked to a number of complex factors, and some of them have been explained to you today here, such as income, education, genetics, physiological factors, and access to care and communication barriers. And here I'm going to talk about what has happened or happened in my practice. As I said, I have been with UC Davis since I graduated. I did my residency in Fresno, which is Central Valley, because that's where I was initially from. And in my practice here at UC Davis, I had a practice where I worked for UC Davis part-time and then had a private practice. But because of Medi-Cal, I wasn't able to make a living. So I left the private practice and, you know, joined the UC Davis faculty, fully. But during that time that I saw those Medi-Cal patients, and this was in the late 80s and early 90s, what we saw was happening is, as I think Dr. Norris explained, or Dr. Huckins explained, is that we were trying to increase our numbers of seeing Medi-Cal patients just to make the basic, you know, payroll, basically. So therefore, some of us were not able to do it. So when I became a full-time physician and a professor at UC Davis teaching family medicine, there was more a diverse population. But because I was an African-American female, my population was weighed heavier with African-American patients, especially women. And in the Sacramento area, that was hard to come by. And the one thing that we had, I was out in the Elk Grove area, and we had 5 African-American physicians in one facility. And nobody could figure it out. I was the only female, and there were 4 other men. So they were coming from all over Sacramento, the African-American patients, just to see us. And in doing so, we did a lot of education with these patients. We were able to reach out to them. And one of the clinics that we had that we were able to get educational materials out to was the Imani Clinic, which was run by UC Davis. And I was a co-founder in one of those clinics, where we would serve patients who had no insurance, they were charged nothing, and the drug samples that we were given were handed out to these patients. But the problem was, as we talk about disparity, was further access. We could diagnose them, find out they had diabetes, tell them that they had high blood pressure, tell them that their EKG was abnormal, but where did they go from there? And that was a problem. We could send them to the county clinics, but then they, because of funds, started to shut down. Then they would end up in the emergency room, and we know that's what part of this health reform is all about, because who pays for the emergency room patient? We do. And that's what people don't seem to understand. You know, they don't want health reform, but they want them to go to the ER and yet we, our tax dollars, are paying for them. So that was one of the bigger problems that we had, was access after being diagnosed. But the American Heart Association has tried, through their education, to improve the cardiovascular health outcomes of a diverse population through targeting preventive health information and health care, to provide in a way that they were able to understand what's going on. When I would talk to them about what's your numbers, they didn't know what a BMI was, and I had to explain how important that was. When I would tell them why it's important to signs of stroke, they didn't know what that was. Yeah, my sister had a stroke, or my grandma had stroke. How does this affect me? We had to explain that. And through the American Heart Association, we've been able to do that. So a person's race or ethnicity should not put them at a higher risk for developing chronic disease, such as diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease. But as you've heard today, it's unfortunate. It is one of the factors that affects a person's likeliness of suffering chronic disease when there's no access to health care, when providers are not available, whether they be ethnic providers or whoever. And heart disease and stroke are the two diseases that affect us the most. And when I talk to a patient about heart disease and they have diabetes, this is what always gets their attention. I say to them, if I was to take your heart out right now and look at it, and you're a diabetic, you've already had the first heart attack. Then they listen. What does that mean? And then we have to explain. But through the American Heart Association, we've been able to reach out to those who are uninsured, who are in the communities that have no provision for health care. And we are continuing to do that. The American Heart Association is committed to reducing health disparities in the United States through preventative programs and ensuring access to quality health care for all. Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Nash? Thank you. And I want to thank all of the participants for their participation. Dr. Puckrin, Dr. Norris, Dr. Kohatsu, Dr. Nash, and Angela Jenkins. You all have certainly provided us with a wealth of information. We know there's a lot of work to be done, but it's clear that there are professionals who are committed to the job, and certainly you can count on the legislator, the California Black Caucus, to partner with you as we try to navigate these health care problems and obstacles and opportunities. As was mentioned, the health care reform that's currently being debated in the Supreme Court is a powerful tool, and if it is struck down, we're going to have to find something to replace it. It's not that it's going to go away and all of our problems are resolved. I mean, this health care discussion and debate, I think, has sort of picked the scab and made everyone a lot more aware, a lot more conscious, a lot more sensitive to what the issues are and what the responsibilities are. And so This is, as we suggested earlier, is one in an ongoing series of conversations that we're going to be having on healthcare disparities, how we address it, how we equip ourselves to deal with it in the future. We're going to be having a series of town hall meetings, conferences, discussions like this to better educate, better inform, and better prepare ourselves. And so we want to thank, again, staff for the work, paid and unpaid staff, for the work in pulling this event together. Again, appreciate all the panelists, especially Dr. Puckrin and Norris, who joined us from out of town. And again, we just appreciate, as we close, let me just acknowledge our vice chair, Assemblymember Mike Davis. again, while this is the conclusion of our informational hearing, it's not the conclusion of our discussion, just the beginning. We look forward to engaging you, collaborating with you, and working with you as we try to find the right kinds of solutions and the better approaches to solving these problems. So there's no other business. This informational hearing is adjourned. Again, thank you.